Father, thank you for your word, and we thank you for the opportunity to study your word together, and I pray that you would help us, Lord, to look to you and to see you as you reveal yourself in Scripture. Father, we confess that without the help of your Spirit, the Bible is like a closed book to us, or just seems like a whole jumbled collection of stories. But Lord, as you teach us and show us, we see that you have a plan and you've been sticking to that plan and you've been working out that plan right from the beginning. And as we look at this man, Abraham, and Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, we see your plan in their lives. So thank you for your plan, Lord. And thank you that we are part of your plan. As we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, actually, I want to just give some words. What do you say to somebody who's planning on going away? So to Moitoa family, and especially to Tumanako and Anthony, but also words for all of us, whether you're going to go or stay. And just want to say to Tumanako and Anthony, look, we're just as happy to see you next week. So words of advice. Making Christ-like decisions as we look at the life of Lot. So we've got our friend Abraham. What has Abraham been up to? Well, Abraham, God called him to leave his family and leave his land and go to the land that God would show him, the promised land. He no sooner gets into the promised land, and what happens? There's a famine. So he has to leave and he has to go to Egypt because there's food to be had in Egypt. So Abraham goes to Egypt. And as he gets to Egypt, though, he realizes he's got a bit of a problem, that his wife is too good looking for his own good, he thinks anyway. And he hatches this plan where he basically says, she's not my wife, Sarah, she's not my wife, she's my sister. And Pharaoh and all of his princes see her hotness and they take her, he wants to take her as one of his wives. And but the Lord, of course, brings trouble on Pharaoh's house for that. And Pharaoh calls Abraham, rebukes him, and says, basically, you've lied and you've made me sin. Get out of here and, you know, shame on you. Imagine that road trip from Egypt back up to the Negev, eh? Wouldn't have been a lot of conversation in that car, you know, with Abraham and Sarah. I mean, she would have been like, And what would have made it worse is they would have been traveling along in their caravan, you know, all their animals. And a lot of those animals would have been there. Why? Pharaoh gave them to Abraham as a dowry for his sister, supposedly. But he says, you can keep them. So, you know, Sarah would have hated the sight of all those animals and so on, you know. And it would have been an embarrassment to Abraham every time. He would have made him feel guilty just seeing them. But anyway, we're told, it's interesting, it says Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife, it doesn't say Sarah, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into Negev. And he goes back, and we see this as an act of repentance. He goes, and in verse 4 it says that he builds an altar. He goes back to where he first, that place of Bethel, and there he called upon the name of the Lord. And here we see Abraham coming back to a place of fellowship and repentance with God. And he's back in the land. He's back where he's supposed to be, where God wanted him to be, and he's back living under God's rule. But he's now quite a wealthy man. Okay, and in those days, people counted wealth not by how much bank, you know, how much money you had in your bank, or what sort of house you had, but it was how many tents you had, but specifically how many animals you had, how many sheep, how many goats, how many donkeys and cattle and all that sort of stuff. That really, and in a lot of cultures, I know in parts of Africa, they will say, you know, he's 50 cows rich, that guy. I've even heard somebody say, you know, she's a 10 cow wife, meaning, like, if you want to pay a dowry to her father, it's going to cost you 10 cows or 20 cows. So that's how people measured wealth then, and some people still do today. But, of course, all this extra wealth also causes a problem. And who here hasn't got something really cool, whether it's a new phone or a new car or a new house or lots of money, and that causes problems between you and the rest of your family or between you and the rest of your friends. Suddenly you have extra friends that you didn't know you had. Who are you? You know, never saw you before until I got this new car. And it's the same thing here. There's tensions come up because there's basically, they've got all these animals and there's not enough grass, there's not enough grazing for all these animals. And so Abraham and Lot, his nephew, their shepherds and their workers start to fight. And there's a bit of a standoff. So Abraham takes the initiative, he calls a family hui, and he says, look, we can't all live in the same spot. And we know, by the way, that this is God's way of protecting the lineage of Abraham here. But anyway, as the leader, Abraham, he gives Lot the option of choosing first. Okay, Lot, you choose where you want to live. And if you go that way, I will go that way. And Lot looks around, and he probably does what anyone would have done. He looks around, and he goes, that looks beautiful out there. Green grass, lots of water, and some really cool happening cities like Sodom and Gomorrah. Those are funky people. I want to be around them, and you know that's where it sort of is at these days. And so he goes. That's where he goes. And Abraham turns and looks to the other direction, and the Lord comes to him and says, "Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply you." Remember, at this point, Abraham has got no children. He says, I'm going to multiply you. And his only relative, his only living relative, who's Lot, has gone. Okay? So the Lord says, now I'm going to bless you and I'm going to multiply you. Lot's gone. And you're going to have many descendants. And I will give to you and your offspring all this land that you see here forever. And, you know, there's many things happening here. There's this big plan of God working out his salvation in Abraham's life. There's this prosperity, there's this Lot being removed from Abraham and Sarah's household and the development of the covenant blessings and all this. But today I just want us to look at Lot's decisions. Some just very practical things here. I want to just look at and see what happens here with Lot. Abraham calls this family conference and says to Lot, Lot, you choose where you're going to live. So this is kind of like advice for people. Decision making for anybody, for children, for teenagers, for adults. The first thing is that we should get advice from people we trust. Has it ever struck you as you read this story that God, that Abraham calls a meeting and he lets Lot choose and make the decision about what's going to happen? It has always seemed odd to me. I don't know about you, but you have Abraham and Sarah. Abraham's the father, he's the leader of the clan, of the tribe, and yet he says to Lot, you choose where you're going to live. And Lot chooses. Well, it seems to me, first of all, that this is a decision that Lot should have handed back to Abraham, but he didn't. He went and he looked around and he chose. And the thing is this, when you've got important decisions to make, when you've got really important things you've got to do and decisions about your future and decisions about relationships and about marriage, about jobs, about housing and all that, what do? You should get advice. And Lot should have said, what do you think, Abraham? Abraham, I want you to advise me. I want you to give me advice. I don't know about you, but I've made plenty of dumb decisions in my life. Okay, I've made plenty of dumb decisions that I've been embarrassed about and wished I could go back and change. But also, as I look back at my life, I see some really good decisions that I've made, and those have been times when I have gone to other people and said to other people, what do you think about this? I remember, just to give you an example, it seems like a very trivial thing. I was studying and I had been a bit sick. I had glandular fever, I think, and if anybody's had glandular fever, you kind of know what that's like. So I'd missed some of my classes, and I was very conscious of the fact that I'd already missed a number of classes. But then one of my cousins she had a stillborn baby. And the funeral was going to be in this week, and it was going to be right at the time when one of my classes was on. And I was thinking, well, I've already missed 2 weeks of classes. What am I going to do, you know? What do I do? I think I'd better just go to the class, and I'd better just skip this funeral for my cousin. And I remember sitting, and I was in a flat, so a bunch of other guys my age, and I just said to them, I said, hey, this is my situation. I really don't know what to do. What do you think? And they all looked at me and they were like, just go to the funeral, stupid. What do you think? You know, this is about relationships. This is about people you love. This is about things that you can't go back and undo. There's going to be plenty of classes. You can always catch up. But you can't go back and repair those kinds of relationships once you do that sort of damage to them. And I was like, yeah, thanks, guys. You know, it was obvious, it was staring me in the face, but I just needed to hear it from other people. And so often it's simply for us the process of talking to somebody about stuff, just sitting down and as you talk about it, as you say, hey, Mum, hey, Dad, you know, I've been asked to do this, what do you think? And as you start talking about it, the answer will come back to you and it'll be obvious to you and you think, yeah, that's right. What advice would you have given Lot at this time? What sort of advice would you have given to this guy? Lot, talk to your uncle. Go and talk to your uncle about this. Ask him what you should do. Ask him to decide. And even if he says to you, get rid of some of your sheep and get rid of some of your cattle and you stay with me, that would have been a far better way, a far better decision. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. This is Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Okay? So get advice. Get advice from people you trust and people you respect. So that's, I think this is the first thing we learn from Lot here. It's a practical lesson. I think the second thing is this. Don't choose stuff just because it looks, sounds, tastes, feels, whatever, good. Don't choose stuff just because it looks good. I think the second error that Lot makes is that he bases his decisions simply, we're told, on what looked good. He looked and he said, well-watered green grass, it looks really good. Okay? And that's where I want to be. That's where I want to go. Now, I'm not saying that things that look good are not good. Okay, my wife is a prime example of that. But I'm not saying that. But we shouldn't base our decisions purely on that. Okay, we shouldn't base our decisions like, that looks good. You know, like fried chicken and chips looks good. But is it actually good? You know? Yes, of course it is. Healthy and nutritious. You see, it's dangerous to make decisions based simply on that. I heard about a friend of mine who was on Trade Me. They needed a car, and they got on Trade Me, and they were looking up the cars on Trade Me, and they saw this like really cool man. This car is shiny, tidy, no dents in the panels, and you know what was even better about it? The bidding was just really low on that car. So they bid on that car and they won that auction and they went to pick up the car and yeah, okay, problems, okay, money, 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 big problems under the hood. Couldn't see those problems under the hood, could you? Actually, I've heard of two people who have done that. Now, I'm not sure there are many, many others, okay? Making decisions. You know, we read right back in the beginning, One of Lot's own ancestors, Eve, we're told specifically that when she sinned by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it says it looked good, it was pleasing to the eyes, it was desirable to make one wise, and she made a decision based on that. And unfortunately, you know, when we live without God directing our lives, without the Holy Spirit directing us, we tend to make decisions based purely on appearances, you know. And somebody knocks on that door. Don't you love those people who knock on your door and they go, hey, how are you? They're usually really pumped, eh? And you're like, just got up and, you know, you're like, what? What's going on? And they're like, "Wow, I got this awesome deal for you. You can buy this. It's like only $60, but it's worth $1,000. And you just have to make a decision right here and now. Okay, right on the doorstep. And it's just the best deal. Yeah, it looks really good. But of course, if you sit down and look through it and you go, nah. Yeah, I always just say, hey, I need to talk to my wife before I make any decisions. Leave me some info, I'll get a hold of you if we want it. Oh, no, we can't do that. You know, when Samuel, the prophet Samuel, was looking for a new king, he was looking at all these guys, and all of Jesse's sons were parading, not this Jesse here, but all the Jesse in the Bible sons were parading before him. And you know, he goes, who's this little kid? And God said to him, don't judge by appearances. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. See, there's a different way of making choices, looking at the heart. And it's, you know, it's dangerous if you choose your spouse just by on the basis of looks, or what they look like, or what they present to you, you know, on the first meeting. You know, you don't say, oh, I'm going to marry them after one date. You know, they take you out and can be okay. It can work out all right. But, you know, you usually go through a bit of a process and you evaluate and you find out information about people. Or friends, you know, or even a job. Sometimes people come to me and go, hey, Jeff, we've got this really good job. And it's sort of ideal job. But it's in Timbuktu, and I had a look at Timbuktu, and there's no churches in Timbuktu, you know. And so you have to say, well, okay, what are you going to do for fellowship? How are you going to keep yourself spiritually healthy? Have you thought about that? So, you know, we have to think about things, or food, or decisions about study, or sports, or clothes, you know. Anybody here ever bought anything that's really dumb? You know, like clothing, you go into the shop and you buy it and you get home and it's like, why on earth did I buy that? I remember doing that once, going into a shop, and I was like, I don't know, I happened to be walking past the Ugg boots. Now, this was back in the day when Ugg boots were kind of, I don't know where Ugg boots were at. I think the mongrel mob used to wear them, I don't know. But I was in there and I walked into the shop and I was like, these are big ones that come up to my knees and you lace them up, and they were like, they were expensive. They were like $60, and I was like, yeah. And I put them on, and they felt amazing. You know, I thought, boy, these are beautiful. I'll buy these. And I said to the shop assistant, yeah, I'll just go and get my money out of the cash machine. And I went out of the shop, and I started walking towards the cash machine. I'm like, are you gonna be stupid? What are you doing? keep walking. But you know. Do that all the time, eh? Go and buy stuff just based on appearances, and then you realize it's a big mistake. So Lot, he makes this decision based purely on appearances. The other thing too about Lot that we learn is, don't choose something based on the crowd. Don't choose stuff just because everybody else is doing it. Or just don't go somewhere just because everybody else is going there or says they're going there. Have you seen those things on YouTube clips where you got they prank people? You know, like they usually do it in places like Japan and that, where they have this amazing sense of humor. There'll be somebody walking on the street and suddenly they see a whole crowd of people running, or about a whole group of people running towards them, and they're just joking, and the people see them running and they think, what am I going to do? And they turn around and start running as well because they don't know. Yeah, it's classic. What do you do when everybody else is doing stuff? Well, Lot, we're told that he chooses this valley, and he says, says, Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated. Okay, and while Abraham settled, verse 12, among the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley, and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now, the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. Isn't that interesting, eh? Lot chooses not only this well-watered place, but he actually chooses to put himself right next to the city of Sodom, which has a reputation for being a wicked place. And the the people of those cities are notorious, of city of Sodom, are notorious for their sinfulness. And Lot knows that. And Lot chooses to go there. And he takes his tent and he puts himself right there. What are you thinking, Lot? They say that apparently we humans like that. You know, what's the population of Auckland grown by about, so the population of New Zealand has grown by about 1 million people since the last time I looked. And they just about all seem to be living in Auckland. Whereas in the provinces, where I'm from, Gisborne, you know, it's like 35,000 people, always has been, probably always will be. Why? People want to live where other people are. But should we be making decisions based on that? And if, unfortunately, we know for Lot and his family, things ended up in tragedy. God looked eventually at those cities and said, they are wicked places, and they need to be destroyed. And he comes, and God sent his angels to Sodom, and they had to take Lot, literally by the hand, him and his family, him and his two daughters and his wife, and lead them out of those places to rescue them. Don't make decisions based on what everybody else is doing or being where everybody else is. I know there's a lot of pressure. I know that we all feel pressure. It could be that your friends ring you up and say, we're going to go out and we're going to be doing this. We're going to be drinking. You know, we're all going to pick up a dozen or a couple of dozen. This is what we're all doing. You got to come with us. No, it doesn't mean you've got to go with them. Does it mean that when, people come around and they say, this is what we're going to do, we're going to be partying, and do you have to do that? No, you don't. Or when your friends say, you know, this, we're going to be going out and getting up to some mischief, do you need to go with them? No, you don't. There's a lot of pressure on us when we're young, I know that. But Lot, we see that he ended up in a terrible situation because of that decision he made. What is Psalm 1 and verse 1? A lot of you will know that off by heart. Blessed is the man, can you remember that? Who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. You hear that? Blessed is the man who doesn't go along with everybody else, who doesn't go along with those who are rebelling against God. Now, I'm not saying, hear me out, I'm not saying that you've just got to stay home and you can't go out and you can't have friends and, you know, you've just got to stay at church and stay with Christians all the time. It's not saying that. But there are times when we've got to run a mile from people. There are people that you've got to keep well away from. They're just going to be a bad influence on you. They're just going to lead you into sin. And if you know that you're going to listen to them and you're going to go along with them, then you need to turn away. You know, Jesus, he prayed. He didn't say, Lord, take all my people out of the world. But he said, I don't pray that you would take them out of the world, but I pray that you would keep them from the evil one. And there are people, and there might be people in your life right now that you know they are a bad influence on you and you are unable to say no to them. So you need to keep away from them. That's what you need to do. Don't be with them until you are able to say no to them. And there might be places that you just need to keep away from. Okay, there might be places, there might be events. If every time you go to a party and it ends up you just getting wasted, then just don't go to a party. Or each time you go to the pub or whatever, you just can't have one drink, but you've got to have 10, just don't go there until you're able to say no. Or if every time you turn on the TV, you just sit there and you watch it till 3 o'clock in the morning, don't turn on the TV. Or each time you go on, you turn on your computer and go on the internet, then you start going onto those gambling websites, started putting your money on those, or you start going on to pornography websites. Just don't go there. Just don't get and go into those places until you're able to say no. You know, sin isn't just worth mucking around with. It's, you don't play around with it, you know. As somebody said, you don't play around with a hungry tiger, do you? Or a hungry pit bull on a Takanini street. You don't play around with one of those. You keep away from it, don't you? You keep your distance from it. It's dangerous. It's going to bite you. It's going to grab you. It's going to cause you pain. It's going to cause you suffering and misery. And not only probably for you, but if you're married and you've got children, it's going to cause problem and suffering for your children. And Lot, unfortunately, he made that bad decision. And so he ended up in a real mess. So final thing is this: choose Christ. Choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. Don't choose things based on what they look like. Don't choose things based on what everybody else is doing. Choose Jesus. Doesn't mean, you see, that Lot was lost. Doesn't mean that he was, you know, because he went off to Sodom and lived there and based his decision on how things looked, that was it. You know, we know that God sent his angels to rescue Lot. And he dragged him out of Sodom, but there was a lot of deep sadness in his family after that point. So how do we avoid that? Choose Jesus, I say. Choose Jesus. I heard the story about a guy who just became a Christian. And forgive me if I've told you the story before, but he had a habit, and he'd done this for years and years and years, which was every Saturday night he went to the movies. Okay, used to go on his own. Didn't matter what the movie was, he would go to the movies. Just Saturday night, 8:30, movie time. What's on? He'd just buy his ticket and find out what was on. And he became a Christian, and he said to his pastor, he said, because somebody said to him, "Oh, you shouldn't be going to that. You shouldn't be going to the movies all the time. You know, you're a Christian now." And so he went. He said to his pastor, he said, "What do I do?" You know, he said, "I've always gone to the movies, but so and so said to me I shouldn't be doing that. Is it right? Is it wrong? What should I do?" And his pastor was a very wise man. He said to him, he said, "I tell you what. When you go to the movies, next time you go to the movies, take Jesus with you. Take Jesus with you." So the guy, he goes, "All right, okay." And he gets up, gets on his shoes and gets on his jacket and says, "Jesus, we're going to the movies. Yes, Lord, come with me to the movie." So he went to the movie theater and he goes to the ticket counter and he says, "Two, please." And the lady looks at him like, "Yeah, you're crazy." And he walks in and he goes and sits down. Him and Jesus sit down in the movie theater to watch the movie. And, "Lord, what do you think of this, Lord? What do you think of that?" And then he realized that the Lord wasn't really enjoying that movie much that night. And so he and the Lord left and went home. Choose Jesus. Choose Jesus all the time. The Apostle Paul, you know, he was an intelligent man, and he had a lot of learning and all that, and he had studied a lot of theology and a lot of the Bible and a lot of history and all that. And he said, you know, all that stuff, he said, "All of that stuff I count rubbish compared to knowing Jesus." Meaning, I'll choose Jesus every time. I'll leave all that other stuff behind. I'll choose Jesus every time. And so Lot, we look at the life of this young guy. What do we learn from it? Get advice, okay? Get good counsel. Seek the wisdom of others. Don't make decisions based purely on how things look or sound or whatever it is. Don't choose things just because they look good or sound good or whatever. Look at the spiritual realities behind them. Don't choose things just because everybody else is doing it or making that decision or going there or is going to be there. That's not a good enough reason for you to be there. And finally, choose the Lord Jesus every time, and you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for the opportunity to gather around your word And as we look at the lives of your servants Abraham and Lot, we see so much of ourselves in them, and we know that you are using their lives for greater ends and greater purposes. But as we look at Lot, Lord, there's much that we can learn about how to live wisely, how to live as a Christian. And we pray that you would help us, Lord God. You would keep us from evil and from harm. And that as we choose the Lord Jesus Christ and as we stick with him, you will keep us and you will guide us and you will protect us throughout our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.